We are in Come Follow Me. I believe it's week 46, and it's the book of James. And my heart just absolutely centered around what it means to be a servant of God. In the very first verse of James chapter 1, verse 1, it says, James, a servant of God. And I think my mind went there because Elder Ballard, we were let know yesterday, passed away. And as we watch this last general conference, so many of the people that I have talked to had the same impression I did. And that is that we're going to lose these top five or the longest five apostles within the next little while. And it just hit so many people like it hit me and just tugged at my heart. These men who have been a part of my gospel journey my whole life, and how grateful I am for them, and how could we ever replace them? And so I want to go in chapter 2, verse 5. It says, hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? And I just think what a beautiful tribute to so many who God has used. They are humble, teachable, these great men. If you study what they were before they accepted the call to become an apostle of the Lord, and what they walked away from to follow the Lord and become our servants, to use their whole life following God and blessing us from what they learn and what they teach. And I just love that. Okay, in chapter 2, I want to go in now to verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? 19. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. And that was so key to me, because I know that I have shared before how it dawned on me watching the temple film that even though Satan doesn't follow Christ, he has to obey him. When he is cast out, he's cast out. Christ is Christ, whether you believe in him or not, whether you follow him or not. And just that puts it in such perspective. So what that you believe in him? So does Satan. If we don't work, if we don't pursue him, if we don't follow him, it means nothing. And then I love in 20, which just sums it up, faith without works is dead. 22, faith wrought with his works, by works, was made perfect. Faith was made perfect. It's him that makes us more, who helps us to learn and grow and become. And I love that. 24, by works, a man is justified. And I love in 25, this example that Rahab was justified by her works, by believing in God and having the faith to do what she was asked. 26, so faith without works is dead. And just this example of these men who spent their life working to follow God, to show faith, and have so blessed us because of their willingness to do that. Okay, I want to go down to chapter 4 and verse 14 in the middle of it. It says, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Elder Ballard, Joseph Smith, Amulek in the Book of Mormon, they recognized so many examples. Those are just three that I'm saying. They recognized that this life is a blip of time and an opportunity to become who Christ wants us to be, designs us to be, intends us to be, so that we can live with him forever. Become, we are gods and goddesses in embryo. And I love that. 17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him is the sin. And I thought of the sin of omission. When we know what we have been taught to do and we decide it's too much work, we don't want to do it. We just become complacent or satisfied with where we are. And how grateful I am for these great men who were not satisfied, who truly saw eternally the perspective of who they wanted to become, who they wanted to dwell with. And the question that I wrote here is, do I feel that I would feel comfortable living with Joseph Smith, living with Amulek, living with Elder Ballard at this time? No. So there is further work that needs to be done in me. Okay, I love in chapter 5, it says, verse 7, be patient, therefore. The husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. He is developing it. He is being patient with me. Then I need to be patient with the works that are being done in me that are painful. Elder Eyring once said, if we will know we are walking the path, if it feels like we're walking uphill, if it feels hard, if we're breezing through, then we're not learning. We're not growing. We're not changing. Verse 8, be ye also patient, establish your hearts for the coming of the Lord. What is your goal? Be patient, steadfast, and knowing he is working a great work. 10, take my brethren, the prophets, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. And that was the lesson for me in this. And of course, you can't think of James without thinking of Joseph Smith. And I've shared before how the Spirit said to me when I had my nervous breakdown in Washington, are you yet as Joseph Smith? And are you greater than Joseph Smith? And immediately I thought, no. And the Spirit said, do you think I was disappointed in him? And it was such an aha moment for me to know God was not disappointed, that all the things that were going wrong in my life were not because it was a punishment, but because God was preparing me for more. He was making me greater. He was making me steadfast and sure for things that were yet to come. And how grateful I am that he had that trust in me. And one of the most profound examples that stood out to me with these scriptures was in my study in the Book of Mormon this week. I've been in Ether, and my heart has been so touched as Moroni has been the last person on earth hiding from the Lamanites, while the last righteous person on earth sees his people wiped out, hiding from the Lamanites, and the Lord gives him this opportunity to put this book of Jared in the Book of Mormon. And as he reads the story, he has got to so relate to this prophet Ether, who hides and is the last righteous person and watches the total destruction of the people. And it so touches my heart that the Lord did that for Moroni, so he knew he wasn't alone. But I love in Ether 12, verse 23, and it says, this is Moroni, and I said to him, Lord, the Gentiles will mock at these things because of our weakness in writing. For the Lord has made us mighty in word by faith, but thou hast not made us mighty in writing. For thou hast made all people that they could speak much because of the Holy Ghost, which he's giving total credit to the Lord. Thou hast made us we could write but little because of the awkwardness of our hands. And the thought that came to me is Moroni had no idea. He was Moroni. He had no idea that he would sit atop our temples. He had no idea that our church would be nicknamed for him. He had no idea he was our prophet and how we would revere him. Moroni felt self-conscious. Moroni compared himself to Ether. Moroni didn't think he was enough. And what's beautiful to me is these examples of these great men, Elder Ballard, Elder Holland, who we pray for, Elder Eyring, President Nelson, all of these men who it felt like as they were speaking, it might be their last message, Elder Ballard for sure. And just our heart going, thank you, thank you, thank you, Heavenly Father, for these men who turned their life to service in for thee, for us, that we could hear their words and hopefully listen and be made more. How grateful I am for the example of Moroni's humility. How grateful I am for these men who recognize the goal and the desire to dwell with God and be made more through him, through his enabling power, to not have sins of omission, but to desire to become and have every day a day that we repent and that we strive to be who he needs us to be. And what a beautiful message that is. I hope you know the church is true. And more than that, I hope you know how much our Savior loves you.